Johnson is a brilliant critic, a wonderful close reader, actually. And I think modern readers, especially perhaps students of English literature and academics who are used to the business of practical criticism or close reading of poetry, will recognize the skills that Johnson deploys as ones familiar in the work of other great critics like William Empson or Christopher Ricks. However, there are also peculiarities to Johnson's criticism, and oddly enough, it's in his critical comments rather than his biographical accounts that he sometimes seems most of his time. He has an idea which is very important in his formulation of the progress of English literature, that there is such a thing as improvement and progress in the writing of poetry. Like many men and women of his time, he believed in standards that we might now find rather odd of refinement and polish and correctness in the writing of poetry. And whilst the greatest writer in his view in English literature is Shakespeare, a man who died a century and a half or more before he began his Lives of the Poets. So anybody who reads his preface to his edition of Shakespeare will perhaps be surprised to find that even though Johnson reveres Shakespeare, he finds in him faults which are a consequence of the relative barbarism of his times. And equally, in the Lives of the Poets, some of the writers he most admired will be credited with improving English poetry rather as we might think a physicist or an engineer might improve knowledge of the material world. And I think we're not used to thinking of poetry in that way as something that somehow improves. But Johnson definitely did think that, and he thought that only perhaps in the 18th century had English become as good a language for poetry as Latin had been. And that's been due to the efforts of writers in the 17th century, some of whom, like Dryden, we still read and admire, but many of whom, like Denham or Waller, are now forgotten, but who Johnson thought had a very important place in the story of English literature. You will therefore also find that he has a peculiar preoccupation with writers' faults. Now, this is not something that critics, I think, do particularly anymore. If you're writing about Paradise Lost, you're very unlikely to have a section on Milton's faults, but this is what Johnson does. Just as in his preface to Shakespeare, he had a section on Shakespeare's faults as a writer, faults as a playwright. So this is, we might think, a consequence of the values of his times. But actually, there's also something often quite enlightening about it, because Johnson has a very empirical, commonsensical attitude to what poetry does. Poetry tells the truth eloquently, as far as Johnson's concerned. So he's very suspicious of poets who, in any kind of blur of fine words, are out to trick the reader into believing that something that sounds good is therefore true. And he analyses, for instance, rather brilliantly, Alexander Pope's An Essay on Man as a work which is wonderfully well written, but somehow meretricious when you actually analyze what it's saying. And I think many critics would think that without adopting Johnson's own codes of correctness and polish and veracity, there is still something probing and valuable about the way that Johnson refuses to let a writer as accomplished as Pope get away with saying things which sound neat but are actually either contradictory or untrue.